So let's go to our Bibles. We want to talk tonight, I guess, something that's very much needed. And let's talk about living in perfect peace. I think that's what we're looking at tonight, living in perfect peace. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4 and verses 6 and 7. I'm reading the New King James. And I'm going to read the Amplified Version on the Scriptures, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. We're talking about living in perfect peace. King James, New King James says, Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall guard your minds and your hearts through Christ Jesus. And let's go over to the same verses, and we're going to read the Amplified Classical Edition. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and everything by prayer and petition, definite requests with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God, and God's peace shall be yours. That tranquil state of soul assured of its salvation through Christ. And so fearing nothing from God and being content with its earthly lot of whatever sort it is, that peace which transcends all understanding shall garrison and mount guard over your minds and hearts in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul said it's possible to live in such peace in this world full of turmoil and full of trouble. The peace of God is available to every one of his children that will apply themselves to the Word of God. And no matter what kind of trouble you have, you can be protected, your heart can be protected, your mind can be protected from the effects of the trouble and trials and stresses that you are encountering. But you must give all your concerns to God without any reservation. We are not to take any of those troubles and trials back by thinking and accepting worrisome thoughts after or once you've done it. Also, if we talk anxiously or speak anxiously afterwards, and at least excessively about how much trouble we have or how much difficulty we have or how much hardships we're carrying, we must unreservedly allow God or give that over to God. We must do our part and allow God into our situation by yielding to Him and giving Him what we have as what we're experiencing as trouble. So I'll read that over again. It says here in the King James, be anxious for nothing. That, in other words, any kind of anxiety you have, any trouble, any care, any hardships, you must give that over to God by prayer, through your prayer. And you must supplicate with thanksgiving. It says in here, notice it, let your request be made known to God. I know a lot of people are asking for prayer for their personal issues, but the Bible encourages each person, individually to give their trials or whatever anxieties they have to God. You can't do that for somebody else, nor can you take it back and keep giving it to the Lord. This is something that you do. This is your responsibility. This is something that I can't do for you. The church can't do it for you. No spiritual person can do it for you. No guru or whoever it is can't do it for you. You have to do this for yourself, and you must do it for yourself. It's a responsibility. It's a spiritual area that you must take care of yourself. It says, let your requests. He didn't say, take someone else's requests. Take your children's requests. Now, you can do that in some way, but you must be able to do that for yourself in the end. And so I wanted to stress that, because sometimes people want everybody else to take care of their trouble, take care of their spirituality, when they, in fact, have to take care of their own spirituality. Be responsible for your own life. And so you see a lot of that happening on Facebook, because people are crying on Facebook. They're crying for help. when they should have been in church, should have been under a pastor, under leadership, and learning how to do these things themselves, learning how to pray. Or get to a church where they can teach you how to do that. Some people don't teach you how to do that, so you must go and find somebody where they can actually show you how to do this properly. And so sometimes we do a lot of stuff that is not scriptural, and we're asking things that can't be done by somebody else except for yourself. So Paul said it's possible to live in peace, no matter what troubles we may have in our lives. So peace is actually a gift from God. It's something that God can give you, and only God can give you that. We'll talk about that right now a little bit here, and so we'll reiterate it again later on in our teaching here. In John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus said this. He said, "My peace I give you." He said, "My peace I give you. Not like the world gives it." In other words, you can't find this peace anywhere else. You can't get this anywhere else. You can try and duplicate it, but you cannot find this kind of peace. I'm the only one that can give you this kind of peace. That this peace I'm giving to you. He knows what he's talking about because he got it for you. He said here, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you." Notice this, "Let not your heart be troubled." If you're having trouble, having a hard time with any disruptions in your spirit and in your mind, it's because you've allowed it to. Notice it says, notice the wording, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So it's our responsibility. When we get agitated, it's because something we're doing. Maybe right now you're at home or you feel like you're stuck. And I'm sure a lot of people feel the same way. Millions of people across our nation and millions across around the world feel somewhat stuck, naturally speaking. But you don't have to be that way, and, you know, in reality, in the spirit. So it says here, don't let your heart be troubled. If God tells you not to do something, that means you can do this. He said, don't let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. In other words, fear as well, as all these anxieties people have. People have this trouble with being afraid. There's a lot of things to be afraid of. I'm sure there's things that you're probably concerned about. But the Bible says, Jesus says, and he encourages us, don't do it. Don't be afraid. Don't get all worked up about stuff. There's, you know, when he talks about don't let your heart be troubled, that's when people get worked up about all kinds of stuff, all kinds of issues. They get troubled and trialed about all kinds of things, and they get bogged down in life, and they let this get heavy on their lives. Jesus said, don't do it. So Jesus said, we can live in peace. He knows because he paid the price for our peace when he was on that cross. And so we can live every single day without having this disruption in our hearts and mind. And every day we can have his peace. Isaiah prophesied years before Jesus was on the scene that Jesus would actually be punished for our peace. He said he was wounded for our rebellious acts. He was crushed for our sins. He was punished so that we could have peace. He was punished so that we could have peace. We receive healing from his wounds. This is Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, God's Word translation. We can experience that peace right now. And I know there's a lot of folks that you need to have this kind of peace that only God can give you. And Jesus is saying you can experience that. And people are saying they can't experience this because they're doing the wrong thing. They're thinking wrong. They're acting wrong. And they're maybe talking to the wrong people and listening to the wrong people. If you listen to the right people like Jesus and Paul and the prophet Isaiah, you're going to have peace in your heart. So those are good people to talk about or talk to or listen to and read about. What is peace anyway? Peace could mean a lot of things for people depending on what they're going through. The Amplified Bible in 2 Peter chapter 5 verse 1 says, perfect well-being. That's what peace means. You're just perfectly, you're whole, you're put together, you have perfect in your well-being, your spirit, your soul, and your body. And having everything that is necessary. You have absolutely no need when you're in peace. If you have peace, you're not struggling. You're not being afraid that you're going to miss out and not have what you that your needs as actually are being fulfilled. So let's look at here. Let's read some more. It says here, may God's favor, or let's go ahead and just read this again here. It says that perfect well-being, having everything that is necessary, good for our lives, or things provided for living. No problems are bothering you, nothing agitating, no urges, no compulsions driving you mad. Okay, let's go read this. May God's grace, God's favor and peace, which is perfect well-being, all necessary good, all spiritual prosperity, and freedom from fears and agitating passions and moral conflicts be multiplied to you in the full and personal, precise, and correct knowledge of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's the thing about it. The more we know the Word of God, the more we know God from studying His Word, the more peace we'll have because we understand He's not going to, you know, He's already made provision and He's not going to allow you to have needs that are unmet. Let's look at something here, first of all, what a definition means, or a definition from the dictionary says. The dictionary says, peace is a state of mind of tranquility and serenity. It's freedom of mind from annoyance. That's a good one right there. People just being annoyed by different things in their lives, they're annoyed of this thing, annoyed of that thing, annoyed of this, having all kinds of annoyances in their lives. And so they're just continually being troubled. And so distractions, it says freedom from the mind, from annoyance and distractions and anxiety and obsessiveness. You know, when somebody is obsessed or they have a compulsion to use drugs or they're compulsively using different things, they're just obsessive all the time. They can't rest. That's not peace. If you always have to go for a cigarette, for example, that's not peace. You have to go outside. You're in a house somewhere, and you're visiting somebody, and you go out 4 or 5 times that night, that hour. That's not peace. If you have to go and get a drink on Friday night because you're going to miss out on life, that's not peace at all. That's not peace because you can't miss out on something that you're obsessed with. Peace is completely God Himself fulfilling every need, but you can enjoy different things if you want to, but you don't have to because God Himself is joy. Hallelujah. Merriam-Webster Dictionary, I don't know if you know Merriam, but she lives on my street. Her name is Merriam Webster. It says, peace is a state of tranquility or quiet. It's freedom from disquieting or oppressive thoughts or emotions. As someone might say, I have perfect peace and contentment. Having no hostility, but calmness. That's a wonderful, wonderful place to be. God's peace, that kind of peace is available to you today and all of us if we'll just apply ourselves to what God says. Let's go read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16, the New Living Translation. God wants us, all of us, to be at peace. We just read you some things about what peace is all about, so I hope you picked up something there. If not, go back to the teaching and listen to it again. Now, may the Lord of peace Himself give you His peace at all times and every situation. Now, I know, I put this on my Facebook as one of my status because I thought, some people need to hear about they need to experience peace today. The Lord of peace, He's the Lord of peace. Jesus is the Lord of peace. And God is peace Himself. He wants to give you His peace. He wants to give you this no matter what. Over here the New Living says, at all times and every situation. That means around the clock, no matter what it is. I'm going to tell you quite frankly, I don't have any kind of turmoil or anxiety about what's going on. I have no care. I'm going to talk about care. I'm not, when I say care, I mean, anxiety or I'm not flipping out on something. I have complete peace in my heart. And I always tell people in our church here, if you're watching, if you're not a member of our church, I always tell people, I can tell who's going to make it in life because I can tell just by the way they study the Word of God, how they handle the Word of God. And if they're applying the Word, I see their lives because I see they're part of our sheep and our sheepfold. And I see them, some people just listen to the Word just a little bit and just walk off and do whatever they want to do for a season, come back. And different ones, there's some people that are consistent. They get on the Word and they stay with the Word day and night no matter what happens. There's some people, they just take the Word when they feel like it. And those are the kind of people that's not going to last when the trouble comes. You have to have this no matter what happens. Jesus said in Matthew 29, the trials of life, Matthew 7, 26, 25, 26, 27, 28. He said the trials of life come to all of us. Trouble will come to everybody. Whether you're Christian, whether you believe in Jesus, whether you believe in Buddha, no matter who you are in this world, the trouble is going to come to everybody. It depends on what you believe in, where your faith is at, how you will get through some of those troubles. And thank God for His mercy, but you don't want to just living on mercy all the time. You want to live in the best parts and not have any trouble. And so we need to look at the Word of God as our anchor that keeps us stable in troubled times. But we also need to prepare ourselves before the trouble hits. Jesus said, the man who puts the Word into action every day, applies it to his life every day, he said, when the trial comes, that man or woman will not fail or never be shaken in life. But the person who doesn't do that is going to be shaken with a great shaking, and maybe you not even survive. I want to be the one that's prepared, and you need to prepare yourself every single day. And that's why I tell people, listen, you might need help right now, and come to the church services. Come whenever we're open. Take advantage of what we got, and then start learning from people who know something. The world without God has no peace at all. No real peace. They got some kind of peace, but not no real peace. There are many people that have absolutely no real peace. They are suffering some kind of disruption in their lives, in their hearts, in their minds. They're trying to escape it through the business or busyness of life or other activities, trying to keep busy, but they still have no peace. We can employ helpful suggestions by a multitude of good people and well-meaning individuals, what they say to our lives, but it'll have no lasting and effective peace without the giver himself, God, the giver of peace in our lives. The prophet Isaiah said this over in Isaiah 57:21, New Living Translation. He said, there's no peace for the wicked, says my God. There's no peace. You know, the wicked just simply is a term means, those guys without God. We're wicked without God. But, our understanding of wicked is quite different than what God thinks about different things. And that's something you need to learn, too, is about what God defines as wicked or sin is different from what we think. A lot of people are doing things they don't think is sin. They don't think it's evil. They're participating in evil stuff, but they don't think it's sin at all, or they just... I mean, the scripture is very clear. Paul said they're going to say it's not evil, it's okay. And so sometimes even Christians walk over and do different things that are not supposed to be doing. So Jesus did his work, here on earth for us or on the cross to give us that peace. So he said there's no trial or tribulation in this world that can take the peace that He gives from you, no matter what you're experiencing. If you're looking for peace, but in all the wrong places, now it's time to start to find out where that peace can, you can find that peace. Some people don't know where to find peace. They're always trying to find it in other people, looking to other people to solve their problems or issues, perhaps concerning their well-being. There's a big problem in the world with loneliness, say, for instance. In spite of a lot of people being around them and they still manage to suffer from being alone or being in loneliness. So many still continue to struggle finding that inner peace. Paul said to the Romans, Romans chapter 3:13, New Living, he said, they don't know where to find peace. So people are looking, but they can't find it. You can't give away what you don't possess. So if you don't have peace yourself, how are you going to offer somebody peace? The world without God, you know, the Bible says the world without God can't give you peace. So the world without God, people who are living without God, they're going to try to offer you peace, but they don't have it themselves. They have none to give. They can soothe themselves with all the temporary activities, but the things they have will only dress the surface of their soul and maybe some things in their bodies or their physical life or physical lifestyle, but not the very core or the center of their being, which is their spirit or the inner man. The prophet Jeremiah said concerning Israel in their lives, at that time they needed to get right back with God and put themselves within the will of God. He says in Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 11, New Living says, they offer, or he's talking about the world, the people who are not from God's camp, they offer superficial treatments for my own people, for people's mortal wounds. They give an assurance of peace when there is no peace themselves. See, sometimes people will try to give you things. They try to say they have something, but they don't have it. They don't have it to give. Only God can give you that peace. Some people look, I said earlier, that some people look to people. They say, okay, you know, I'm lonely. You better find a girlfriend real quick, you know, and they'll get a girlfriend and figure that's going to fix it. But you know what? That's not going to fix it. You can still be married with somebody and be totally lonely, living in a marriage, being alone. And the trouble with many people, they haven't really learned to be at peace, learned to have that from God himself. Only God can fill that. Your husband cannot fill that. Your wife cannot fill that. Your boyfriend can't fill that. Let God be that peace for you and let him be there in your heart. And so you'll enjoy actually your wife more or your children more or whatever else. And so don't look to people to fill that void. Only God can do that. We serve a God of peace. We serve a God of peace, the Bible says. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, New Living says, now may the God of peace make you holy in every way. May your whole spirit, your whole soul, your whole body be kept blameless until the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. So God wants us, he says, he calls, you know, Paul calls him here the God of peace. He's the God of peace. He'll give you whatever you need in spirit, soul, and body. Right now, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. We have that peace. We can have that peace. You can enjoy that peace. Over in Romans 5, verse 1, the New King James Version says, therefore, having been justified, the word justified means being made righteous. We became righteous when we accept Jesus. He said, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have that kind of peace, that undisturbed peace with God. If you got peace with God, you have peace with everything. Everything in life, there's where else you can find it. So once you have that peace in your heart through Christ, by making peace, by accepting Him, His Son, He was that peace offering for us on the cross. He was a sacrificial lamb, and God gave Him for us to suffer and die for everything we need. And everything Jesus was or is, we have everything we need in this life and life after come. And we'll every need is met in Him. So God right now is not mad at you. Don't be afraid. Be at peace. He has settled our sin when He put Jesus on that cross and laid our sin upon Him and made Him to be our sin offering on our behalf. You can thank God. You can thank Jesus for His peace. He suffered and died so we could have that peace right now. We don't have to be, in turmoil. Jesus has given His peace. Let's go look at Isaiah 53, chapter 5, the New King James, he says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace, you should say, my peace, was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. I remember I told a story once. I told it many times. I remember things happen in your life. You know, there's different things happen in your life where you recall because it's impactful in your life. And I'd suffered lots from anxiety issues. I suffered what they call today PTSD. I'd suffered with sleep. I couldn't sleep because of all the trials I had in my life as a young child. And at that time, they didn't have this kind of information they have today available for people. And they call it other things. And I was seeing a doctor and different things. I was suffering. I couldn't tell them. I didn't know what anxiety was. I didn't know what worry was. I didn't know how to express myself. I couldn't talk. So if you can't talk, you can't express yourself, how are you going to solve problems? But only God could get to me. You see, I think some of you are worried about your family member, your child out there. Maybe he's on drugs or whatever it is. Maybe you try to reason with that person. Maybe you try to talk it out and it doesn't work. There comes a time in your life when only God can only do that. He can only communicate to that heart that you or anybody else can't. So what God got to me and spoke to me. I was driving down the road with a friend of mine. He said, come with me to a place that he was going to preach the gospel. I was a Christian, brand new. I was still suffering real badly as a Christian. I didn't have the kind of teachings that we have today. I was raised in church, but didn't have the word preached to us or taught to us. And so I'm driving down the road. I'm having these anxiety issues, and I felt like I wish you could stop somewhere and go to the washroom and maybe grab a hold of myself. And we stopped at this one side place, and I quickly went to the bathroom to adjust myself mentally, I guess, what I was doing. And I heard the Lord say to me, and you know, at the time I didn't know that God actually can talk to you. And the Lord told me, he said, you know, I died for your peace. And it was kind of funny to me. And I, you know, as young as I was as a Christian, but I got a hold of that. It came to me by the Holy Spirit, by His grace. I got a hold of that in my spirit, and it stuck with me. And ever since that time, I knew that this was real. It was impactful for me. I realized that I could have peace. But it took me quite a while to actually begin to implement that understanding. Because you can have a revelation, but not have the implementation of it in your life. Or you need to learn how to use it. So I think a lot of people get the word. They don't, you know, implement it properly in their lives because that's what happens to people. It's like when you're called to the ministry. You might have the calling, and if you run ahead of God, you make a mess out of yourself because you don't know how to do it properly. Sometimes people get a word from God, and they put it out there before they should because they don't know how to do that properly. But anyway, I got a hold of that, and later on the Lord showed me about not ever being afraid. And so I took a stand that I will never be afraid again of anything. And so I did that, and it was so impactful for me that I struggled over the years with anxiety issues. It was manifested in the physical, and I would hyperventilate and almost get sick to the point where I would have to go to the emergency and go to the doctor and get some medication. And I suffered like that for many, many years. And of course, my mom did, and number of other people did in my family. And I guess there's a spiritual connection to that as well as a naturally learned thing. But we can have this peace. I'm telling you by example or by living example that you can get rid of this thing. And it wasn't some kind of a professional person with a high level of intelligence with a bunch of degrees that taught me how to do this. Sometimes it was actually some people who just were just everyday people told me how this thing can be applied to your life. And so God afforded us this peace that we can have. It's a gift from God. You can employ it. You're going to have it right now. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to pray about it. You don't have to beg God for it. You don't have to fast for it. You don't have to do anything. It's a gift from God. God will give you it tonight, right now, if you want, this peace can only come from God. It can't come from the world. Only God can give you this peace. Like we mentioned earlier, the world will give you a pseudo kind of peace, which is not actually real peace. It's a fake peace. It's not real or genuine. This worldly peace is only temporary, not everlasting like the one God gives you. God only can give you that real inner peace. When you know God, when you know that He has covered you, you'll experience this perfect peace that nothing can shake. You know, we used to sing a song, the world has given me, I think it goes, the world has given me this and the world can't take it away. It goes like this. That's how it goes. So, you know, God can give you that, the world can't take it from you. If God gave it to you, you got it in there. Nothing outside can shake you from it. So, this is what the book of Job said concerning this experiencing this peace of God. Job chapter 2, verse 21 and 22 to 30, he says, submit to God. This is a New Living Translation. Submit to God and you'll have peace. So there you go. Just a few words right from the beginning. If you submit yourself to God, you will experience peace. I feel like I need to stress that right now. If you will submit to God, you will experience peace. The reason why many people are not having peace is they have not submitted their lives totally to God. You got to be unreservedly surrendered to your life totally to Him and put your life into His hands. It's, you have to do it by faith. And so you'll experience this peace. Then things will go well for you. The next line says, listen to His instructions and store them in your heart. If you return to the Almighty, you will be restored. So clean up your life. So, you know, sometimes God has to do some things, but you have to do some things as well. You know, people say, well, I thought, you know, God just accepts me as I am. Well, He does. He accepts you. He loves you. But there are some things He expects you to change through His word. You know, I don't expect if you saw me here smoking a cigarette, I don't think that'd be right. I mean, you know, or drinking a bottle of beer right now. Just have a beer break. But that couldn't happen because if I'm teaching you that you can have peace with all these things and I'm doing it myself, then that's not a good example. You know, so you can return to God and do some things to help yourself because, you know, you don't want to keep something that's going to take you back. So clean up your life. If you give up your lust for money, throw your precious gold into the river, the Almighty Himself will be your treasure. See, he's talking to somebody here who had a lot of wealth. This man named Job. Some people put all their, you know, peace, you know, in life, the zest for peace, in money or whatever wealth they have. So if you throw your precious gold into the river, the Almighty Himself will be your treasure. He will be your precious silver. Then you will take delight in the Almighty and look to God. You'll pray to Him and He will hear you and you will fulfill your vows to Him. You will succeed in whatever you choose to do. That's a good line for those people looking for success tonight. If you begin to just give God your life, you'll experience this peace in your life. And the light will shine on the road ahead of you. That's good. Listen, if you don't know what to do, God says He's going to give you that light to show you what to do next. The light will come. And so if you are troubled, if you're in trouble, you shall say, let me read this again. You'll succeed in whatever you choose to do. The light will shine on the road ahead of you. If people are in trouble, you will say, help them, as you're talking to God. Help them and God will save them. Even sinners will be rescued. They'll be rescued because your hands are pure. Now, you know, I saw this and other scriptures, and I've been seeing it more and more in my life lately because the Bible said if you can be so right with Him that if somebody is not living for God, he's a sinner, or he's not living for God, and because you pray for him, God will rescue that person. I've been in that situation many times. I've gone to the hospital. I had no light on it. I'm saying, how could I pray for this guy? Is he a Christian, not a Christian? What was he living like before I'm going to go minister to this guy? He's under some tent, under some tubes, and they're dying. And I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. A lot of times it was like, God, be merciful. I don't know what else to ask for. It's just His mercy. And He'll help you. He'll help them because you ask for His mercy. He's a merciful God. And I know that different scripture says that you can pray for somebody, God will forgive them their sin. And He'd also heal them. And so I've seen this happen time and time again in my life where I was able to help somebody out. But, it's not something you do every day. You see this once in a while. It can happen. So you can be so right with God. You can so be peaceful with God, be at one with God, that whatever you ask God, He'll do it. Jesus said Himself, whatever you ask me, I'll do it. I heard a man one time said this, his mom was dying. And he didn't want her to die right that moment because he felt she was young and she shouldn't die. You promise at least 70, 80 years or more if you can. And so he said, the Lord began to talk to that person and said, why don't you ask me to save that person's life? Because I'll do it. If you ask me to it, I'll do it. So he said, okay, I'm going to ask you to do it. And he did it. So we need to see that we can have so much peace with God that it affects other people. And I know it works in the other way. When you're not at peace, that affects a lot of people. You're in turmoil. You're in a lot of trouble. And that gets off on a lot of people. You're not having peace. Affects your home. Affects your body. Affects everything you do in your life. So you must have this kind of peace. So what are you going to do? You have to get your mind off the problem, and you have to get it on to His Word. Every time you run into a trouble, you should ask yourself, what does God's Word say about my situation? No matter what comes your way, no matter what trial may be, ask yourself, what does God's Word say about this situation? And that's where your answer will be. A lot of times in this season, people are looking to somebody that come on, hopefully, they're looking for somebody to come on Facebook or on the internet or whatever it is, on YouTube. They have an answer for us, how to solve the problem we have. No, folks, the problem is in solving of the problem is in the Word of God. And I don't have to go to look for anybody to prophesy in my life about something. I'm going to go to the Word. That's the Word of prophecy. The Scripture is the Word of prophecy. Stick to the Word of God, and you'll find there it'll give you the peace that you need. So here's Psalm 34:19. It says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver them out of all of them. So the trouble we're having, let's apply that to our life right now. Let's apply Psalm 34:19 to the COVID-19 right now. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, or all our lives right now, but the Lord will deliver us out of it. He's going to deliver us no matter what it is. You got to trust God and believe His Word. The righteous person, the New Living says, faces many troubles, but the Lord comes and rescues them each time. Each time. He says, many troubles, many, many troubles will come. He didn't say you're not going to experience troubles. You're going to have many troubles, but the Lord will rescue you every time. You have to say that. Say that at home if you're at home right now. Just say, I will probably experience a lot of trouble, but the Lord will deliver me from each one of them every time, every single time. You have to tell yourself that. Say that to yourself. No matter what it is, the Lord will rescue me every time. You can't avoid, if you're going to live in this world, you will always experience trouble and trial. Because you live in a world filled. This world is contaminated. It's sin afflicted, sin infested. The world is called the valley of the shadow of death in the 23rd Psalm. So, if you ask God, I remember somebody asking somebody, can you pray for me? Telling this minister, pray for me so that I'll never have any troubles anymore. And that minister said, do you want me to pray that you die right now? The guy said, no. Well, he said, that's the only way you'll never have trials again is get out of this world right now. And so the only way to not ever have a trial again is to be out of this world. But God promises, no matter what the trial you may be facing right now, you can have peace and you can have an answer right now. So feed your mind on positivity. You will not experience peace, feasting on worldly thoughts or just on the news itself, on all the major news networks and all the internet going on there about the COVID-19 and who died now, how many people have died, and they're counting more and more people all the time. And the more the numbers go up, the more excited you get. So I don't know how are you going to stop that from happening? Well, I'll stop listening to that. I don't do it all. I don't listen to this all day long. I know it's happening, so I don't feed it all day long. I listen to it when I need to listen to it and see what's going on, but I don't follow this all day long. So you have to be able to decide what you're going to do. I choose to listen to what the Word of God says. Thoughts that aren't lined up with the Word or in the mind of God, you must refuse it. That's why it says in Philippians 4:6, think on these things. What do you have to think on? He talked about in that verse of Scripture, all the positivity you need to put in your mind. God has tremendous thoughts about us, and they're all positive. Every one of them are positive. He says in here, Jeremiah 29:11, the Amplified Classical Edition, he says, for I know the thoughts I plan and plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans of disaster? No, of welfare, of peace, and not evil, to give you hope in your final outcome. You know, at the end, it's going to be a great time, no matter what's going on in your life. So, we need to see that God has a wonderful plan for our lives. We need to get our minds off the problem and onto God, and the peace of God will come into our lives. Here's Isaiah 26. Here's a good guy to think about. Isaiah 26 and verse 3, New Living says, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust you, those whose thoughts are fixed on you. So you must begin to fix your mind, grab a hold of your mind. I always tell people, your mind, my mind is my mind. And you can take your mind and focus your mind on what you need to focus on. Speak to your mind. Tell yourself what's going into your mind. Tell yourself, I will think properly. I will think positive. I will think peace. No, you know, just look at the Word and say what the Word says about it. Just say, I have healing. I have joy. I have all my supplies. I'll never run out of stuff. I'm always going to be taken care for by God. The results of those who revere the Lord, you know, you will come up on top. Psalm 112 verse 1 says, praise the Lord. How joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in obeying His commands. Verse 6 says, such people will not be overcome by evil. Those are the righteous will be long remembered. Verse 7, they do not fear bad news. They confidently trust in the Lord to care for them. So, we need to see in the Scriptures that God will always care for you no matter what your trouble is. You don't have to fear bad news, because you know if bad news comes, and it'll come, you have to say, I don't care, no matter what it is. You have to make your mind right now. Say, you know, no, I don't care what it says. You could be COVID everywhere. I'm not getting it, according to the Word of God. Now, people are not going to agree with you. They're not going to say, oh, I believe you. I believe you. Especially people who are not Christians or they don't understand this. And we shouldn't do this in front of them in the first place, because they don't understand. You shouldn't expect them to understand. It's spiritual knowledge. They cannot get it. And so sometimes people fight with people they shouldn't be fighting with, because they're, according to Scripture, they call it unregenerate. Their mind is not fixed on God. God doesn't have, they don't have God in their mind, in their spirit. And so you need to tell yourself, bad news is there all around, but I'm not getting this. You need to tell yourself that. If you're afraid to talk like that, then maybe you need to go back to the Word. Meditate on the Word, renew your mind, fill your spirit up with the Word, then that power will come to you. Or if you don't believe it yet, just keep saying it until you start believing it. Sometimes people talk themselves into weakness, talk yourself into strength. Say what the Word says. Talk about how good it is, how good God is. And I was thinking about this the other day. Psalm 91 says, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. In other words, God says, I'm going to make you immune to the things that are affecting the other people. You have to believe that. You got to believe it. If you don't believe it, you will not have peace. You know, as soon as somebody coughs, you'll just jump up like this. You know, so learn to stay tuned into God and not be afraid of anything. So receive His peace right now. The Bible says, Romans 5:1, therefore, since we have been made right with God, and God said, by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. And of course, Isaiah 53:5, Amplified, says, the chastisement needful to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon Him. You know, whatever you need today, Jesus bought peace for you. No matter what kind of peace you need, peace for your marriage, peace for freedom from sickness, peace for supply, whatever it is, God has you covered. Let's go ahead and pray. Go to the Lord in prayer right now. Thank God for you tonight. I thank God for every one of you. I want to let you know, people of Faith City Church, that we've been praying for you. Our staff, we've been mindful to pray for you. We lift you up regularly when we think about it. My wife and I, we were driving down the road. I said, Father, I ask you in the name of Jesus, I pray for all our church members, the people that are called our sheep and our sheepfold. I ask in the name of Jesus to protect every one of them. I pray that their children are protected. I pray that healing will be theirs. Supply will be there. I pray that every need will be met. I pray they'll have wisdom for everything they need to make decisions on. I pray, Father God, their future is bright. I pray, Lord God, that they're generous people, loving and kind people. Wherever they go, they're bringing the peace of God, of the Lord Jesus, everywhere they go. They're spreading this heavenly scent, this aroma, to every person, wherever they are. Thank you, Lord. They're full of the peace of God. And where they go, peace comes with them. And they're a calming effect among their family. They're a calming effect among their friends. They're a calming effect among their Facebook friends. There's a calming effect on them. They don't speak anything else except the Word of God. In their messages, whatever comes out of them, is always something there, personal, powerful, godly, and wonderful. Peace of God comes out of them. There's no agitation. They're not agitated, mean, nasty, but they're full of the peace of God. Thank you, Lord. I prophesy every single person in the name of Jesus, sound of my voice. I prophesy the peace of God in your life. I pray that everything that you're believing for will come to pass. I pray that as you stretch your hand out to God, no matter what it is, that need will be met right now. The Bible said, if two shall agree on earth as touching anything, it shall be done of my Father which is in heaven. The Bible said, if two shall agree. It doesn't take a whole pile of pastors in the city. It doesn't take some special anointed man somewhere. No, it just takes you and somebody to agree that God's word is true and that you can make agreement on it. It'll be yours today. I believe with all my heart right now in the name of Jesus that healing is yours. That office that you need for your work is yours. Whatever piece of equipment you need is yours. Whatever information you need is yours. I pray in the name of Jesus right now, Father. I stretch out my hands in faith, releasing the anointing of God right now. Go ahead and receive that anointing in the name of Jesus Christ, by faith in the Word of God. Thank you. Be healed, every one of you. Be healed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be healed. From the top of your head to the soles of your feet, be healed in the name of Jesus. May the joy of the Lord be your strength. May oppression leave you right now. Oppression, leave that mind right now. Leave in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. 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 I don't know if you're a member of the Faith City Church, or if you're a family member, or you're just tune in for the first time, or you watch this, but this is for the first time now. You, for some reason, you're on. I believe this is an opportunity for you to receive Jesus today. I received Christ many, many years ago. in the 80s, watching television. The man says that Jesus Christ died for my sins, that I couldn't save myself. I needed a Savior. I was going to church every Sunday. I prayed every day. Was religious, but I was not saved. I bowed my head and prayed with the man. I said, Jesus, come in my life. I believe you're the Son of God. Save me. I'm a sinner. Come into my heart. I want to live for you. I believe you died for me. I believe you were raised for me. Now you're at the right hand of the Father. I believe that according to the Word of God. And now I'm born again. If you would say that prayer, dear friend of mine right there, if you say that prayer right now, you reach out in my faith, say, I believe what Pastor Roma is saying, Jesus, come in my heart. Save me. I'm a sinner. I cannot save myself. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I'll follow you the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you said that prayer, you are not born again. You're a child of God. You're brand new. If you sang that prayer for the second or third time, you've been away from God, you say, God, I was a Christian. I was saved before. But I'm coming back home. I want to be saved. I want to walk with you. Salvation is yours. Forgiveness is yours. It's a gift. You can walk with God now. That's a prayer of recommitment, rededication, submission to God, which is something we always do every day, every one of us Christians. Dear beloved man, I followed all of my Christian life, Brother Hagin, I followed him all my life. He always said this, we need to always pray the prayer of dedication, submission, all the time, consecration, dedication, regularly. Say, God, take my life. Sometimes you go astray, you don't even know it, and you get your life aligned back with God. If you just say that right now, lift your hand and say, God, please forgive me. I want to walk with you 100%. I just allow all the stuff that brings me away from you, I let it go right now, and I'm coming to you and following you, what your plan is. Whatever plan did you have, Lord, I want it to be fulfilled. I want to hear you say one day, well done, my good and faithful servant. Thank God for that. If you've been watching this program, and maybe it's the first time, I want you to connect with me. You can find me on Facebook. Go to Roma Fisher. You can message me and talk to me. I want to pray with you. And I want to be your friend. I want to be your friend. Let's be friends. I got almost 5,000 friends. You could almost lock me in to over 5,000. I have to get another Facebook. So God bless you. I love you. See you Sunday. And remember, we're praying for you. God bless you. Bye-bye.